Splendid. And now, back in the 1980s... Swaying from side to side, happy memories of an undergraduate and the kids from Fame, and doing all manner of wonderful things, etc. And one of those fine folk proving that the friends of Fame continue ever onwards is joining us for his debut on the production now. Yes, 6 p.m. UK time, not US time. Thank you, Penny Evans. It's the fabulous, awesomely wonderful Paul Rosenbaum. How are you, Paul?
I'm well. How the heck are you? I'm walking around New York City because I thought it was tonight.
No. Well, I'm sure we could do something about midnight our time. I mean, after all, we do our Los Angeles correspondence, so it's midnight in LA. It's 8 a.m. our time, so it's Pacific Coast West. Anyway, delighted to touch base with your good self. And awesome material here. Paul, proving that talent remains through the decades. So talk to us about your character on... Well, that's just... In the studio, we have three fabulous... We've got Ben Lewis.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Exactly. Well, actually, it's good afternoon.
It's good afternoon.
It's good afternoon, actually, in New York. It's not... It's good morning
about
in Los Angeles.
Hours, isn't it?
Yeah, I think... What time have you actually got at present, Paul, in New York?
I'm sorry, what was that?
What's the time in New York at present, where you are?
It is 1 o'clock. Just had a little
Good afternoon, then.
Exactly. Good afternoon. It's fine from that. Have you ever experienced the joy of seeing episodes of Fame? You've got big dreams. You tap the thing, you go for it. You're gonna live forever?
I haven't, I'm afraid.
Unbelievable.
I'm uneducated in this realm of...
Sorry. Sometimes, Paul, the shock of some of our co-presenters... Never mind. Hopefully...
All I know is I'm going to live forever because I'm having myself frozen.
Nice. that's the way forward. Go for the whole system. In every sense of the word. We will know that. Becky, I take it from your own sort of notion you are familiar with the series.
Of course.
Exactly.
How can you not be?
And the original, authentic and best version, of course. I mean, people say the Alan Parker movie, that's just a drop in the ocean. You know, it's where it moved on. Actually, I was so excited, Paul, when I found you've even appeared in Chips. You know, the California Highway Police Patrol. Whoa.
I've done all the big TV shows. I've worked with Eric Estrada, all the top actors in the business.
Exactly. Neon Maniacs, The Hollywood Nights, a whole heap of other goodies from that point of view. We'll talk about that as things proceed. And, of course, I mean, it's PR, public relations, see? Paul Ray Rosenbaum. Marvellous. So just check out the IMDb thing. Let's talk, Paul, a little bit about Fame. I mean, did you think it would have that resonance that here we are, something like 30-odd years later, and we're still... I mean, Phil Hamlin-Williams, you must remember Fame, surely. I mean, presumably you were inspired by Mr. Sklarovsky or Mr. Shklarovsky.
You know I don't. Now, I need to explain that.
I think so.
It's part of... working in a profession and having a large family, that everything else gets squeezed out.
Well,
so you don't...
What delights you have got for you.
10 years can go and the television isn't switched on.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, but...
So are you telling me you threw us over the side for your children?
Between career and family, that's it. You know, everything else is squeezed out.
Totally understand.
But Paul, look at all the joys that he's actually got to look forward to when he can actually see. I mean, that's the joy of the wonderful world we should
have. Absolutely.
We have Life is a Celebration. We've got The Power. We've got High Fidelity. I think we have to have that. But we've certainly got Satellite. So let's move initially to this particular point. And thank you, Penny, for actually letting us know that fans of Fame are tuning
absolutely.
In as we speak.
A big kiss and a hug to Penny Evans for putting this together.
I'm sure Penny will be duly appreciative of the whole thing. And once we get our contact numbers again, she'll join us back on the show. That's all we'd like. So talk to us a little bit about this wonderful thing that you put together. It's a charity single. It's an awesome charity. We're going to hear it in a few minutes. But talk to us about the background, please, Paul.
So I wrote this with my writing partner, my songwriting partner from my band back in the day named Raw Meat. And we had the song Satellite, which was a ballad. And I was looking for something to do with my other cast members, to do something current and new, to show that we're still alive, we're still here, and we wanted to do something to give back to the community. So we did the song Satellite. If you go to YouTube under The Friends of Fame, that's The Friends of Fame, you can watch the video, or you can download it, Satellite, on YouTube under The Friends of Fame. So we put it together, and we were just wanted to do something to give back to the community and do something new. So we put this together. We went to where everybody lived, and we filmed at their houses, and we recorded them live to basic track. And we came out with this. And Valerie Landsberg, who played Doris in the TV show, she directed the video and did an incredible job, I thought.
It's also, I mean, I've just been actually accessing the joy. I mean, we've got a Satellite with the Friends of Fame. We've got the Friends of Fame channel. I think we're going to have to press on this and have a visual experience. But if you're kind enough to stay with us, I mean, Ben, are you ready for this? Because this is what we call awesome moments here.
I'm ready to embrace it.
I'm just... Raw meat, Paul. What about the vegan alternative? Just a thought.
We were thinking of doing raw veggies, but it just didn't quite have the same ring.
I like this. I think this is awesome. I don't want to actually sort of influence anybody in any way, shape or form. Perhaps I just have. But it's the Friends of Fame. We'll find out what it's for and how this is supporting a fantastic cause as well. It's Satellite.
above where eagles dare to fly.
Satellite, you watch as heaven turns the day to night.
I would like to travel in your stratosphere.
Above all the confusion that surrounds us here. Satellite, do you see the answers that we need?
Satellite, watch flowers grow on graveyards choked by weeds.
Can you see tomorrow? Is there such a word?
Are you also blind? Carefree as a bird.
A difference.
Would we realize?
What would we discover hidden in your core eyes? Satellite.
Satellite. Satellite. Satellite.
Satellite, you've seen bombs turn mountains into sand. Satellite, how much more destruction can we stand? When there's no one listening, will you still be around? Who will hear the message you are sending?
I think it's a round of applause. I mean, it's got to be a round of applause. Come on. It's phenomenal. Yay! Brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. Very and in fun. Fact, the magic has even attracted another studio co-presenter, the fabulous Lauren Wood. Lauren, you've just heard the outgoing tracks of Satellite there, Paul Rosenbaum from Friends of Fame. What did you think of that?
Yeah, I like that song.
Yeah,
it's very good.
What's not to like? It's been fantastic. And clearly,
thank you, Lauren.
Well, Becky Morgan Phillips, apart from being shocked at the level of ignorance that both Phil and Ben have put forward, in terms of not being familiar with the effect of the whole thing, I think. What did you think of the latest and first collaboration since the series ended?
I think it's a great song, and it's just very. Obviously, I wasn't even born then, but I just felt like it's very nostalgic.
Nostalgic in a kind of 21st century way.
You made me feel very young. I appreciate that.
So, Paul, why the decision? Because, I mean, we've got Maine, we've got orchestra. I mean, Penny originally sort of let us know about the kind of things you wanted to put together. Tell us the tale of why you decided to get together with the rest of the crew and say, guys, we can do this even without Mr. Sklarovsky. Or was it Sharovsky? I'm always confused.
Shirovsky.
Shirovsky, so
we did a concert last year, a reunion concert in Los Angeles, which is a benefit, and it was so much fun, and I had so much fun working with my old castmates that it just seemed like the time to do it. And we're also doing a show in Liverpool, May 5th and 6th, that's produced by Sue Hines, who's doing a great job. We hope to see everybody there. That it seemed like the right time to do something new and just show that we're still around and we still, you know, we're having fun. And we want to give back to the community.
Sue Swain has said, "Satellite sounding fab on this radio." So great news as far as Sue Swain is concerned. Penny inevitably, quite rightly, says, "Just beautiful and with a powerful message for today's world we live in." So, Phil, you've heard the message. What are your thoughts now you've had a chance to soak up some of the magic of Satellite with the Friends of Fame?
It has moved to the very top of my to-do list.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you can't get much bigger than that, Paul, for something to actually move to the top of the to-do list.
Absolutely, the summit.
Does it come before or after shopping for groceries?
They're not even in the same room.
Whoa.
Thank you. That's very sweet.
Becky, you're familiar with the series. Would you like to just set the scene in terms of Paul's character and quiz as you wish what he would like to? Because, Paul, your character, of course, within Fame was the awesome...
Montgomery,
exactly.
Did I get that right?
Yeah, you did indeed. Were you familiar with Montgomery, Becky?
Yes, I was.
So now's your chance. Any of those questions you've been dying to ask, and you came to this planet to actually be born, to actually say, "I've just got a question from the heavenly choirs up above," to actually come back and say, what's Montgomery all about?
I mainly just want to know, like, how it was working with everybody in that environment. I've always imagined it being... just very lively and very fun and very, like, just exciting.
More than that, Fame, and especially Erica Gimple at the 1983 concert, inspired Penny Evans as a disabled person to pursue enrolling at drama college. And she's become a legendary singer and contributor from Buxton ever since. That's the kind of power this has. Sorry.
So was it like being a part of that legacy, really?
It was like that, but it was almost intimidating because everybody on that set had, from the dancers to Debbie Allen, to the castmates, to Lee and Carlo and Erica, had so much talent. You come to work every day and go, "Wow, I'm working with really, really good people," and everybody had to step up their game. So it was a very exciting time.
I mean, I must admit, working at the University of Lincoln, it has to be said. Lauren, any thoughts from yourself about Fame, the series, or indeed any other thoughts? Because you're working actually in the music industry at this moment with Soundlinks.
I am, yes.
Did Fame inspire you?
I'm not particularly clued up with Fame, to be honest. I'm just aware of it.
Well, go to the top of your to-do list. we're going to squeeze in. Well, I mean, I've got to sort of ask this because, I mean, I mentioned Chips. The Dukes of Hazzard. You were in The Dukes of Hazzard. Andy Slocum. That's amazing. The Millionaire. We still haven't found out the purpose of the single or why people should actually go and purchase Satellite now. Why is it such an important thing that you've got together?
In America, it's 99 cents to purchase. On iTunes, the Friends of Fame, Satellite. And the reason is we're supporting two great charities. One is the Maine Youth Rock Orchestra, which helps kids and teaches kids how to play music in Maine, in the United States. And the other one is called Street Smart, which helps at-risk kids in Music City in Nashville. So all of that money that you pay for the single will go to those two charities. The best 99 cents you'll spend in your life.
And that's what makes the 80s a great decade, between 1982 and 1987, when Montgomery was on TV and in BBC television as well, usually around about, I think, 7 o'clock on a weekday evening, basically, where we actually used to want to live forever. You've got big dreams. Sorry, I'm just doing the Debbie Allen tapping of the walking cane there, because, you know...
Cane, yes.
Exactly. It's very important. Ben, I mean, I know we appreciate Annette Andre and Randall and Hotcoat, but this is a whole new world you're going to be able to discover.
I've got a lot of research to do. Me and Phil can sit in the library together and...
Paul, it's been awesome connecting with your good self, and certainly thanks to Penny for coordinating it. We've got two final questions to put to you. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us from New York to Lincoln, England? Has it been okay for you?
It's been better than okay. This has been fantastic. You guys are wonderful. I can't thank you enough.
Oh, well, filling up already. Next question is, actually, before we say, would you be kind enough to come back and return? And if you're in Liverpool, I think we need to make the journey over to our West Coast and actually see you in Liverpool next year. So we need to look at that. But if I actually said, High Fidelity, it's or indeed, We Got the Power, which one would you go from? High Fidelity or We Got the Power? Which one personally sort of, or indeed, Life is a Celebration? I'll throw that in as well.
You know what? I'm going with High Fidelity because I love Val Landsberg so much. But they're all great songs.
I think that's awesome. So the final question, will you be kind
of... There's a good chance we'll be playing them May 5th and 6th at Liverpool.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, I realize good things are happening in Lincoln as well. But I think, you know, clearly we need to set up a public relations trip just to actually see that from the University of Lincoln. Paul, will you be kind enough to return and come back in the very near future and keep us apprised of how the single's going and more? We could become another official New York correspondent. Will you be kind enough to return?
Anytime you want me, just give me a call. I'm happy to talk to everybody in England. And thank you for your support. Just been really wonderful and marvelous. Thank you.
A round of applause for Paul Rosenbaum.
Yay!
From the excitement of High Fidelity with the Kids from Fame. As you may have noted, we've been joined by Lauren Wood in the studio. We've got studio guests Lauren Wood and fellow Midweek Drivettes Ben Lewis and Phil Hamlin-Williams and Becky Morgan Phillips. And joining us for her debut on the production now, another awesome musician, not from the 1980s, but from current contemporary 2018 land. It's the wonderful DL. How are you, DL?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you?
Very good indeed. DL, you're probably going to say, I've never heard of Fame at all, ever. Or have you ever heard of the Kids from
Fame?
Oh,
bless you, I have, yes.
Yeah? Yeah?
Yes.
You're in music, you've got to know about the Kids from Fame. That's the important thing.
Absolutely. Oh, plenty an evening at the karaoke bar in years gone by.
There you have it. So where are we reaching you today? We're speaking to Paul in New York. Whereabouts are you, DL?
I am in sleepy little backwater called Wickham in Hampshire. I live in the woods.
Well, you say that, but you've got the Wanderers there, so you've got Wickham and the Wanderers both together
yeah.
in some wonderful sloping pitch-like thing. Never mind.
Yeah, definitely.
And they're fearless in Wickham. because unlike other parts, having the Wanderers there, they're clearly fearless, which might have inspired your latest tune. DL, talk to us about Fearless and why we're about to hear another awesome piece of musical magic.
Oh, well, thank you. It's, Fearless was the album that that I wrote that really I feel was the first thing that really represented me as an artist. That particular song, I worked with Pete Hartley on strings, who plays all those beautiful, lovely, luscious strings and things. He's a friend of mine I met on a conference in Chicago years ago. And it's really the story about how just overcoming things, just, you know, coming out of a really dark place. I'd been through a really difficult time in my personal life, and was just kind of coming out the other side of it, and starting to you know, a lot of things that I think, you know, you can lose faith that you can really do things and that you can really, you know, pursue a dream, or even you know, that people feel sometimes that their time has passed, that, you know, my
never.
Opportunity to do
never.
Stuff is gone.
It's
and I was kind of coming back. Yeah, I was coming back to, I think, you know what, I can do anything. And that's really what, yeah, that's what that song means to me, really.
I launched an album at the Grosvenor Casino Show Bar on the 3rd of June 2014. That's a time machine there. Your second album, of course. DL, centering around a piano, vocals, double bass and strings, whole range of things. DL, would you like to introduce yourself singing Fearless, please?
This is DL, and you're listening to Fearless.
And we'll be back with you, DL, in about 4 minutes from now.
It's clear.
That goes without saying. It's a round of applause, I think. Yay! DL, is it true that you were 3 years of age when a guitar was thrust into your hands?
Well, this is what I'm told. Yeah, I don't remember that. I was on a radio station years ago, and somebody asked me that, like, how old were you when you started playing? And I said, I really remember in earnest spending a lot of time with my dad when I was about sort of 14 or 15. And I remember getting my own guitar when I was 15. Hmm. And I came home and I asked my dad, and I said, how old was I, Dad, when you first started trying? And he went, oh, I don't know, about three. So my parents were always really musical. And I think my dad in particular always wanted my brother and I to play.
And your mother's love of Joni Mitchell, Carole King and Paul Simon records apparently had a significant impact on your creativity.
Definitely, yeah. I remember Mum listening to, again, that's a bit of a fib, I don't really remember. No, my mum used to play Graceland.
Spin it, that's the important thing. It's a game here.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is that Mum used to play Graceland when she was cleaning the house when I was little, and she, with the Hoover and everything, and I was really small then. Well. Then years later, when I was at college and I was talking to my music buddies at college, somebody gave me the Graceland album. They're like, oh, you might like this. This is Paul Simon. You'll probably like this.
You
and
can I put call
it
me
on
out.
And I knew everything. Exactly. And I remembered it. I don't remember seeing it again.
Diamonds on the
time,
soles of her shoes.
Things.
All those wonderful things.
Oh, it's so good. We saw him in Hyde Park this summer. Yeah. And it was just something
Which is
else.
Quite difficult because Paul Simon's quite small, actually. So he hides
he
very
is
easily.
Tiny.
You know? It's very
tiny. He is tiny.
It can easily sort of work. Penny Evans would like to say, that was wonderful, DL. I'm not sure
Thank you so much.
Exactly. The name is spelled D-I-E-double-L-E. So she was very close. She just missed out a single L, basically. She's very close to the spelling of the name. But well sort of. I've also got a little confession to make. When I was talking about Wycombe Wanderers, nothing to do with the football club at all. Different, completely different area.
I was going
to
say, is it High Wycombe? High Wycombe's
yeah,
Wanderers.
Exactly. Thank you for pointing that out.
Buckinghamshire.
But DL, being a very polite and well-mannered soul, didn't have the heart to say, have you done your research? I'm talking about the village of Wycombe on the south coast.
Football.
Exactly.
Sorry.
There you're randomly talking about Wycombe Wanderers. It's, of course, Wycombe on the south coast of England. may have a football team, but certainly not Wycombe Wanderers.
We're quite close to the South Downs, so there's quite a lot of, walking, you know, hill walkers and that kind of thing. So it could have been a Womble.
No, that was Wimbledon. That's even more confusing. So that's central. That's South London. We've been told none of the things. Ben, any questions for yourself?
Yeah. So, who are kind of your biggest inspirations in writing your music? Is there any particular artist you'd like to, I would say, compare yourself to or look up to in that respect, or someone who kind of helps you write what you do, really?
That's an excellent and exquisitely painful question.
He's known for that,
I'm not trying to catch you out, I promise. It's just a genuine...
It's one of the reasons.
I never know what to say when people ask me who I sound like, because things other people say, I don't hear it, but people compare me to sort of more contemporary artists like Sarah Bareilles sort of thing. But for me, in terms of inspiration, it was really my parents' record collection, and it was the Tapestry album, really, the Carole King Tapestry album, which when we came to learn the songs and perform them years later, I discovered was only 45 minutes long, that completely changed my life. And there's just something so warm about that record, and I think it's the honesty in the songwriting that really inspired me to want to write songs about real things, and sort of so that the songs are kind of a record of our experience on Earth, and sort of part of being human, and that sort of thing.
Phil.
But yeah, all of those artists of that age, like the Hollies, the Eagles, Joni Mitchell, Bob Dylan, Labby Siffre, Lindisfarne, I love. Simon and Garfunkel, you know, all of those really juicy, like, golden era of pop, purest songwriters.
Phil
but
Hellman.
It's coloured by lots of things.
I might try and get a word in every so often.
Sorry,
Phil,
go on.
Don't worry, Phil, you were just saying you were listening to Carole King recently. Would you sort of say that impacted as well?
Absolutely. You know, I was just wallowing in my youth, just loving that music. And, you know, listening to you, there are loads of echoes, but actually, there's another echo I thought I picked up the something of Shetland in that album. The strings, you know, have an echo of, yeah, of Shetland music.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. They're kind of folky elements. I think certainly when Pete and I worked together, and Pete's the strings player, he's such a master at his instrument. I just kind of, I send him the track and then I make noises.
Oh, it's genius. I mean, I'm getting chills just on those noises alone, DL. It's amazing. 14th of October.
A lot of that's Pete's influence as well, I think.
14th of October, 4 days from now, you'll be performing at the Shelley Theatre, Beechwood Avenue in Bournemouth. Then on the 16th of November, the Hanger Farm Arts Centre in Southampton. You can access all sorts of things, as indeed a certain Richard Setford said, the orchestration and melodic piano provide a perfect canvas for DL to paint her lyrical pictures. It's awesome, DL. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
Oh man, thank you so much. It's been so lovely to chat to you all, albeit briefly.
Well,
and come in if anyone wants to come and hang out on social media. I'm in all the normal places.
Lauren,
DL Music,
will
UK.
You hang out with DL on social media?
I sure will. You'll see me there in half an hour.
You see?
Excellent. Thank you. I will keep an eye out for you.
And Becky, that's will you thanks. Be hanging out with DL on social media?
Yeah, of course.
There we are. DIELLE. Marvellous. Ben?
Yeah,
exactly. we'll all be sort of getting some sort of wonderful sonata. It'd be great. Up next, we'll be talking Rod Stewart with Paul Metcalf. That's Rod Stewart with Paul Metcalf. And filled in as might Skype in from Los Angeles as well. It's just amazing the kind of things we provide for you here on Siren Radio, the station that brings you the Midweek Drive on a weekly basis.
I didn't know what day it was when you walked into the room. I said hello unnoticed. You said goodbye too soon. Breezing through the clientele, spinning yarns that were so lyrical. I really must confess right here, the attraction was purely physical. I took all those habits of yours that in the beginning were hard to accept. Your fashion sense, beards, lip prints, I put down to experience. The big bosom lady with a Dutch accent who tried to change my point of view. Her ad-lib lines were well rehearsed, but my heart cried out for you. You're in my heart, you're in my soul. You be my My love for you is immeasurable, my respect for you immense. You're ageless, timeless, lace and fineness, your beauty and elegance. You're a rhapsody.
A tune which may emerge in Some Guys Have All the Luck, the Rod Stewart story, because we have the awesome Rod Stewart performer that actually is the amazing Paul Metcalf with us now. He's on tour with Some Guys Have All the Luck. Paul, welcome to the Midweek Drive. How are you?
I'm very well, Alex. Thank you very much for asking. How are you?
Excellent. Is You're In My Heart in the show, or is it a case of no? We had to fit in Twisting the Night Away, Stay With Me, and various other things as well. So no place for You're In My Heart, or will it be there?
It's in there.
Hey, yeah. Fantastic stuff.
And there's a place, and there's several points in the song where the audience are expected to sing.
I'm not surprised. quite rightly so. In the studio, we've got Phil Hanlon-Williams, we've got Becky Morgan-Phillips, we've got Ben Lewis, and we've got Lauren Wood. Lauren, Rod Stewart, I mean, obviously still around with us, still producing stuff in marvellous ways. Are you familiar with the Rod Stewart oeuvre, as a case of no, I never deal with people who support Scotland?
I've seen a Rod Stewart tribute show. Oh. I enjoyed that.
Because you are
the original.
You are one of our official reviewers at the new Lincoln Theatre Royal.
Yes.
So you've accessed a number of things from that point of view. Mm. What can people expect, Paul, from Some Guys Have All the Luck, the Rod Stewart story?
Well, primarily, a lot of fun. They can expect to hear all Rod's big hits, including You're In My Heart, as we've just said. So basically, to break it down a bit, the first half of the show is we focus on Rod's earlier career and his hits from the early years up to like the mid-70s. And we explain a few of the lucky breaks that Rod's had and some of the scrapes he's got into and just how he kind of became so famous over the 60s and early 70s. And then the second half of the show, we cram as many big hits in as we can and we get everybody involved dancing, singing, and stomping their feet. And usually by the middle of the middle of the second half, everyone's on their feet having a party. So that's what people can look forward to.
This is absolutely wonderful. And, of course, at the Empire Theatre concert on Saturday, the 26th of October, that's where you could do it. I'm just gutted you're not visiting Lincoln, because I think that's where we need you here as well as the Empire Theatre in concert. A lot of Geordies in concert. I'll be very careful.
Yeah.
I'm getting a sense, Paul, you're even sounding a little bit like the great Rod Stewart. I mean, Phil, you're nodding, aren't you?
I am.
You're saying, yeah, it's not just, this is somebody
who's... Plot twist, it is Rod Stewart.
That would be scarily spooky. Phil, questions for yourself.
I've often wondered about tribute bands, particularly when the person who
is still alive
and performing.
No.
How do you square that?
Well, that's a very good point, because most, I don't like to call myself a tribute act, but most people who are taking somebody off, that usually the person involved is no longer with us. But as you say, Rod's still very much going. In fact, he's just had an album out. But we still pack them in. But one of the weirdest things is that, well, it's not weird, it's lovely for us, but Rod's brother Don and Rod's sister Mary have both been to see the show. In fact, Mary's been to see the show 3 times. So how strange is that? That, you come and watch somebody pretending to be your brother in a show and really enjoying it and endorsing the show. I mean, it's
a tribute. It's a tribute to your performance, Paul. That's the clear mitigating thing there. Now we're waiting to see whether Phil Linus joins us via Skype from California. He may not. We don't know. It usually does, but you're kind enough to stay with us. I thought you mentioned Rob Stewart's recently had an album out. Would you like us to play the title track for you and the listener from Blood Red Roses? Are you ready for this, Paul Metcalf?
Oh yes, I am. Yes.
Good ship adventure, a whaling men are we. We set sail for the Cape Horn where the seas as cold as ice. The wind will bite through ya like 1,000 starving mice. Our ship is made of solid wood, but our men are made of steel. One step out of line, you'll be all beneath the keel. Go down, you blood red rose. Go down, you prince of bones. Joshua, a mountain of a man. The rest of us are sorry dogs, misfits of the land. There's something in the air tonight, the men they cannot sleep. Are they dreaming of a water grave, or the ghost of Moby Dick?
We'll be home before the new year with stories to be told, with a shipload of whale oil and a pocket full of gold. Go down, you black man, go. Go down, you prince of gold. Go down, you black man, go. She blows, a monster of the deep. Lower the boats away, me lad, she must be 60 feet. Steady, boys, now hold your nerve. She's a killer of a whale. She could sink a ship with just one flick of her mighty, mighty tail. Go down, you black man, go. Go down, you prince of roses. Go down, you black man, go.
Awesome. The fabulous sound of Paul Metcalf. Oh, no, it's Rod Stewart. Well, obviously channeling the joys of Paul Metcalf, Rod Stewart, at least album, Blood Red Roses. Paul, have you been a fan of Rod Stewart? Was it something that you kind of always felt you sensed yourself heading into that line, or is it just a case of, well, whatever?
I've just noticed that, you were saying we should come to Lincoln. We're coming to Lincoln New Theatre Royal in October next year.
Exactly.
We were there this year, but we're coming back in October next year. So sorry, what was the question?
No, that's just put our minds at ease, you see, because I thought it's Lauren is one of the new Lincoln Theatre Royal Midweek Drive reviewers, etc. Soon to be joined, of course, but I mean, I think you'd be pleased to see that, so it's good stuff. And then, of course, did you say you were retiring?
And I'm retired.
She put it in a diary. Oh,
diary.
Yeah. Screens down the mic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's very strange. It's radio. It's sound and so on. Any questions you'd like to put, Lauren, to Paul Metcalf?
Yeah. So what are the songs which go down most well with the audience time and time again, do you find?
Good question. Well, the song that goes down the best is Maggie May. That is the one that everyone, you have to do that song. I mean, I think we'd get lynched if we didn't do that one.
Is that the one where basically Rod Stewart proves that he is indeed an oracle worthy of Nostradamus by predicting both female prime ministers in one magical, awesome audio package, Theresa May and Maggie Thatcher?
Really?
I see what you've done there, yeah. That's like Beam, wasn't it? I haven't seen that take on it before.
It's called The Power of Rod.
Yes. other songs that we have to do are Do You Think I'm Sexy, which is always a big song. Baby Jane, which is, again, you've got to do that one. But a huge song is Sailing. You know, so many people really, really like Sailing. I think a lot of people, it's their favourite song. Because it's kind of so uplifting. It's a ballad, but it's an uplifting ballad. And so those are the kind of big four. But then, as you say, there's so many others. We can't possibly fit them all in the show. So we have to chop and change every year and leave some out, put some new ones in.
It is, quite frankly, amazing and amazingly wonderful. Phil, thoughts from yourself on Rod Stewart or Paul Rosenbaum or anything? Well, actually, Paul Rosenbaum, Paul Metcalf. What am I saying? Sorry, I'm confusing my Pauls there for a moment.
No, I'm fascinated by the way we go back time and again to listen to old favourites. There's something very comforting about it. On Monday night, I went to see a wonderful performer called Caro Emerald, who I'm sure you know. She was playing at the De Montfort Hall in Leicester. And we were all loving it. It was a Monday night. You know, and Monday night's hard. And it's hard to get people engaged. But she really worked her audience. But we were all waiting for those, you know, favourite songs. You know, what explains that?
Well,
I'm fascinated.
I've just actually had a line from Phil Dinnis with the power of Rod, an unfortunate turn of phrase. Hopefully you're with us, Phil, in Los Angeles. I mean, what's wrong with the power of Rod, surely? He's gone very quiet again. He has. He's gone very. We thought he was there.
He's typing a message.
He's vanished away. Sorry about that. We were all anticipating him being round, but he's not. The big build-up, etc. So sometimes you just don't know where we're going on that. Do we get a comeback on that one?
I'm just interested because you know, I the thing that excites me, I have to say, are young singer-songwriters who are exploring new things, who are writing down their words, exploring music in their way, which brings in, of course, John Robb, who we had talking about punk rock back at the Lincoln Book Festival. And this was, you know, we're going back a few years, and this was totally different music, but this was then a young man who was exploring music in his way, just pushing the boundaries.
Now, are you saying we're living in a post-postmodern age in which we're simply eating ourselves when it comes to pop?
I'd hate that to be the case.
Phil Linus, what do you think? Still not there. You know, we're getting a reading here, and yet for some bizarre sort of scenario, he just doesn't seem to be connecting with it. I don't know. So, you know, I have those challenges where life strikes. Sorry, apologies for this, Paul Metcalf. Clearly there's some sort of magic. Maybe it's the mystical fates just conspiring against us from that point of view.
Well, Alex, if you don't mind, I was just thinking, back to this John Robb thing, when we were discussing that evening, actually, about audience types. And I know there was one girl, I think she was 14, wasn't she?
Yeah.
In the audience, who was, you know, really happy, and she was absolutely loving the punk life as such. And I was wondering, perhaps, Paul, I don't know if you ever get to interact with your audience after a gig or even during a gig to be able to identify sort of the age groups you've got, but do you find there's quite a wide range of ages there, or do you find it's particularly one sort of group there?
Well, I do, yeah. I always make an effort to go out in the foyer afterwards and meet people. And you're right. There is a certain demographic, as you can probably imagine, that tends to be female and of a certain age, who grew up with Rod and remember all the leopard skin and probably fancied him like mad. But it's interesting that we get quite a lot of teenagers and young, well, when I say young, sort of, you know, 20-somethings, who've come along with their parents and were brought up by their parents listening to Rod and are now Rod fans, which is interesting, isn't it? Because I always hated any music that my parents liked, so I sort of went the other way. But it seems that a lot of people grow up liking the same music as their parents, which is interesting.
I think I'm quite similar in that respect, though, because I still listen to a lot of the old music as well from the 80s and late 70s, particularly my dad listens to, but even my mum. But, you know, because I'm quite lucky enough to have a jukebox, which my dad still plays his old vinyls on.
Brilliant.
And even then, he put his albums on the car sometimes for on a long journey. And so I used to listen to Pink Floyd growing up. I used to listen to Simon and Garfunkel and I'm still listening to them now on my, on my Spotify playlist. And it's just something that I have going on, and weirdly doesn't feel like an old song. You feel like you're listening to a song that's still almost there,
current and contemporary.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You don't feel like it ever goes.
Well, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's the power of the really, really strong classic song, that it doesn't age somehow. It still sounds fresh as if it was yesterday.
Mm.
I mean, Maggie May being a case in point, you listen to the recording of that, it's a bit rough around the edges, but it's got so much energy and warmth and spirit that it just jumps out at you, doesn't it, from the speakers.
It's genuinely altered, or awesome in all sorts of ways from that point of view. We haven't been able to connect with Phil Linus. He's got to sort out a few other bits and pieces. It's just, you know, obviously life presented us from that. But we have talked about the power of music. And would you like to tell us, Paul, once again, where people can find Some Guys Have All the Luck on the road with yourself as Rod Stewart?
Well, yes, all over the place. We're doing this up the road from Lincoln in Billingham next Friday, the 19th of October, the Forum in Billingham. But we're all over the place. All the dates are on our website, which is someguyshavealltheluck.com, and we're on Facebook, and our page is called, you wouldn't believe it, but it's called Some Guys Have All the Luck.
It's like joined up thinking, put it large. Sure. We still have to find out the importance of silhouettes and the Lincoln Drill Hall. We will in a matter of moments as we begin to wrap this whole sequence up. But we need to ask you, Paul Metcalf, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
It's been fascinating. It's been nice to have some other people involved as well. Yeah. Shame you couldn't speak to Los Angeles.
Phil Lynn, I know, it is unusual because he's normally there. I mean, I think we've got a slight glitch. We managed New York, but that wasn't via Skype. Maybe we put too much faith in the Skype mechanism this time working and sadly just didn't connect. However, next time, will you be kind enough to return, Paul, in the very near future? Will you come back on air and talk to us?
I would love to. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, then I think bearing in mind that we've gone past September and we're well into a different routine, it's time to wake up, basically. Bill Hamlin-Williams, would you like to share with us a quote from an upcoming event?
Yeah, this is a quote from a German regimental account of the Battle of Loos in September 1915. The men stood on the fire steps, some even on parapets, and fired triumphantly into the mass of men advancing across open grassland. As the entire field of fire was covered with the enemy's infantry, the effect was devastating, and they could be seen falling literally in hundreds.
It's been a fascinating show of contrasts, I feel. We thank Sonny Anna Lewis, William Coles, Jenny Ensor, Paul Rosenbaum, DL, Paul Metcalf, and, of course, in the studio, Kirsty Bolam, Ben Lewis, Phil Hamlin-Williams, Becky Morgan-Phillips, and Lauren Wood, and thank you, dear listener, and Penny and the rest of the team, etc. Have you enjoyed your return to Midway Drive?
Very much.
Good. A little plug one more time for this grand event that's taking place at the Lincoln Drill Hall in October on the 18th.
Yes, it is a commemoration of what the people of Lincoln did in the First World War, and we have silhouettes from the charity There But Not There. These are transparent silhouettes that are appearing all around the country, and we wanted five in Lincoln Drill Hall because it was the place where the young men trained before they went to France, and we had five because they represent the five sons of one family, the Beachy family, who never came home.
And to tie the final bow around, we will say that the words Melvin Pryor are there because he's hosting the evening. I believe he's a disc jockey of sorts on another radio service.
The wonderful Melvin Pryor of BBC Radio Lincolnshire is being kind enough to host the event, and we very much look forward to it.
Maybe either Ben or indeed Becky or indeed Lauren or could actually review it for us.
I would absolutely love it.
Well, then I think that should go straight to the top of the list. That's it, then. We are pretty much out of here. Up next, it's William Blake time, because we've got Professor Jason Whitaker analysing the Tiger and heaps of other great things with respect to that. William Blake, the man and the music. Lauren, you're on, of course, tomorrow with Royal Radio, the latest edition, in which you review two wonderful scenarios that you've just seen. Which are?
The Nutcracker and the Nick Ross Orchestra.
Exactly, the Nutcracker and the Nick Ross Orchestra. Back in the morning, Ben?
Of course.
Well, we'll have Richard Fitzwilliams in a queue for the London Film Festival. He's a film critic, but he's still keen for tickets. Wonderful. Becky Morgan-Phillips, last week, of course, we left the Horns of a Clefstick. Were you going to make it in the morning? Were you not going to make it in the morning? Will you be joining Emma Street and Ben and myself in the Midweek Drive Morning Edition?
Yes.
Whoa.
Definitely this time. You've
got to sign your life to that.
These are the critical aspects there. And that's it. We're out of here. Can we all say, pack up your troubles. 1, 2, 3.
Pack up your troubles.
I was biting my tongue. I was trying to hide.